The UN General Assembly always draws a lot of attention when world leaders gather there in the fall, and this week has been no exception. For reporters, the focus has ranged from President Trump in Ukraine to Boris Johnson in the British Parliament to the leader of Iran. One topic that hasn't gotten a lot of media attention this week is Kashmir. That's a disputed territory claimed by both India and Pakistan. Since the two countries underwent partition in 1947, violence has flared in the area from time to time, but this year has seen the highest number of deaths in the region in a decade. In early August, the government of India imposed a security lockdown in Kashmir, citing a terrorism threat from Pakistan. Several thousand Kashmiris have been detained in a move criticized by Human Rights Watch, among other groups. The Consul General of Pakistan in Los Angeles was recently in Hawaii, in part to draw attention to this issue. Abdul Jabbar Memon talked about past actions by the United Nations when it comes to Kashmir.
Since 1948 until now, there have been at least 14 resolutions which have been passed. Those are binding resolutions which have been passed by United Nations Security Council, that the fate of Kashmiris would be determined through impartial, transparent plebiscite, and right of self-determination will be given to them through that plebiscite as per the aspiration of the Kashmir. That implementation stage is still awaited. In the last 70 years, India has not been complying with the United Nations binding Security Council's resolutions. So it's very unfortunate. When people talk about the Kashmir solution, I say solution has already been given there. It has been enshrined in the various UN resolutions given from time to time that India has to conduct a referendum, and through that referendum, the Kashmiris will determine their fate through their aspirations.
And that for an audience not familiar with the history and the context, knowing that it has been a long-running dispute, and yet this year now it has been dialed up to a different level.
Yes. So you know that this, the August 5, as you already mentioned in your opening remarks, on August 5, a unilateral decision was taken by the government of India by revoking Article 370A and 35A. Article 370A basically provides the autonomy to the Kashmir.
So that part of the Indian Constitution.
From the Indian Constitution. Mm-hmm. And this not the, the article is available only for Kashmir. It's for other princely mm-hmm. states as well. But it was a unilateral decision because Kashmir has been declared as a disputed territory by United Nations. So any unilateral decision by India is contravention of the international norms and international law. So since then, you know, there's a clampdown, curfew. They have converted Kashmir in virtually an open-air jail. There are 12 million Muslims there. They are confined into their houses. They cannot go to their jobs. Kids cannot go to schools. Even they cannot perform their religious rituals. They were not allowed to offer their Eid al-Zuha, you know, a big festival of Muslims all over the world, to perform their prayers in their mosques. Patients cannot go to the hospitals. The hospitals are running out of the medicines. The doctors cannot go to there. It's, I think, a unique violation of the human rights currently going on in Kashmir.
And something that, on the diplomatic front, for Pakistan and for India, both playing to an international audience and making a case about the situation.
Pakistan has been extending diplomatic, political, and moral support to the Kashmiris from the very first day and would be continuing to give the same support in future as well. Pakistan, you know, it was the last time Kashmir was discussed in Security Council in 1971, and it was after 50 years that recently it has been discussed as an informal consultation. Mm-hmm. Not it was a formally convened session, but they have stamped in a way that it's a disputed territory, and it has to be again, you know, that settled through those resolutions which have been passed by United Nations.
The United Nations General Assembly meets in New York. Is this going to come up?
We are pursuing it very actively on diplomatic channels. You know, our Prime Minister is visiting New York. Our Foreign Minister would be here. You know, our Foreign Minister was just a few days before in Geneva in the Human Rights. Even they have shown the concern on what's going on in Kashmir. We will definitely plead our case forcefully in United Nations General Assembly. And it's very crystal clear. It's not something which is, you know, it's an open secret that what India is doing is completely in violation of the international law.
There are other topics on Pakistan's diplomatic agenda. They include playing a potential role in Afghanistan in peace talks involving the United States and the Taliban.
First, let me explain that Pakistan really is interested to see Afghanistan a very stable, secure, and prosperous country because it's bordering us. 760 kilometer border is with Afghanistan. So if Afghanistan is stable, Pakistan is stable because its fallout or spillover effect impacts us a lot than any other country. Pakistan has been facilitating this peace and reconciliation talk from the very first day, is assisting the reconciliation talks even today, and would be supporting all stakeholders in future as well. So on all levels, we are willing to extend any kind of support to any government or to any stakeholder which brings peace and stability in Afghanistan. So our role is very clear that we want to see that this Afghan crisis be settled through negotiation, and peace and reconciliation process is very important to bring peace in Afghanistan.
On a very different topic, Prime Minister Imran Khan, one of the initiatives of his government is to encourage tourism to Pakistan.
Well, you know that you have been in Pakistan and you have seen the northern areas, how beautiful they are. There has always been an issue of accessibility, and then, you know, this militancy and terrorism after 1979 when Russia invaded in Afghanistan. In 40 years, we have not been able to really look into this domain, that how we can promote tourism in Pakistan and how we can attract foreign tourists to Pakistan, because it's amazingly beautiful northern areas and entire Pakistan, and even cost-wise is very economical. So after, you know, this 40 years of turmoil and quagmire in Afghanistan, we have been able, our brave forces fought this terrorism and militants. Now we have been in a phase where we can really take the initiative of promoting tourism in my country. So I, even as a consul general, I have witnessed in my office that normally in the past, say, few years before, there was not a visa request from the American tourists. Now, but now I'm issuing at least 10, 15 visas every day to tourists, those who are going for mountaineering, who are going to the northern areas, and even investors. So it is some kind of, you know, that environment is available which is conducive for tourism as well as for investment in Pakistan.
And safety?
There was a time when we used to have 4 suicide bombing incidents in 4 capitals of the Pakistan, and we used to carry 100 dead bodies on our shoulders and bury them. But fortunately now you will seldom you will find any such incident. So I think we have maintained security, law and order situation in Pakistan now in a very comfortable zone. I cannot say that it has been immaculately maintained, but even if you are in New York, if you are at wrong time at wrong place, you will be in trouble. So that cannot be said that it's absolutely foolproof and all that. But it has been made to that extent that tourists, foreigners, even Pakistanis can live comfortably, travel without any hassle, without any problem now in Pakistan.
Thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us.
Thank you very much. I'm so grateful.
Abdul Jabbar Mehmoon is the Consul General of Pakistan in Los Angeles.